look at this, to 2 Kings and chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. I have no preconceived ideas about this morning. We're just going to go with the Spirit. The only thought I have in my mind is that the Holy Spirit gave me last week. There are folks here at Bethany who need to be sowing in order to prepare for their miracle, okay? People here who need to be preparing the ground, preparing for their miracle. So that's the only thought that's in my mind as we read these scriptures. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves.'" I think it's fair to say that this woman needed a miracle. Amen. Get with me now this morning. We've got to move in what the Spirit wants to say here. So stay with me. Amen. This man died. He left this poor lady, a widow. She needs a miracle. I guess they were not a well-off family. They were a poor family, but the husband, her late husband, had faithfully served the Lord. Amen. Faithfully served the Lord. But now hard times had come. And it happens, doesn't it? Happens to us all. We serve the Lord faithfully in what we know to do. But sometimes it feels like we hit the wall. We hit the hard time. The problem rises. The molehill becomes a mountain. And we think, what now? This poor lady, all she had in the world were two sons and a bottle of oil. It's not a lot, is it? Praise the Lord for children. Praise the Lord for grandchildren. Praise the Lord for family. Family is wonderful. Family should be a reflection of the church. Family should pull together in time of crisis. So should God's family, the church, together as brothers and sisters. But here this woman, all she has in the world is two boys. And the creditor is coming to take the boys away. She's got to sell them as slaves in order to pay off her husband's debts. Now, it doesn't get much worse than that. She's going to be left with nothing. But the woman comes to the right place. She comes to the man of God. She doesn't go to the creditors. She doesn't go to the bank. She comes to where she knows that God is. She comes to the man of God. Elisha represented God to that generation. He was the man of God. He was known as the man of God. When people saw Elisha coming down the street, they said, "Here's the man of God. Here's God's prophet. Here's God's mouthpiece to us." Elisha stood in that sense like Christ is to us, Elisha was to them. Think about that. Christ is our high priest. Christ is our prophet. Christ is our interceder. Christ is the one who sits at the right hand of God this morning interceding for you and I. And Elisha was the man who interceded for the people. And so the woman knew where to come. She came to the man of God. And she cries out and tells him, in no uncertain terms, what her problem is. In verse 2, Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you?" And immediately in his mind, Elisha is led by God's Spirit to ask a question. Tell me, what do you have in your house? What do you have? I want to ask you a question this morning with the authority of God. What do you have today? What have you got? What is in your hand? What is in your possession? What gift have you been given? What talent have you got this morning that God could use? What is that in your hand? Remember that God asked the same question of Moses. What is that in your hand? Moses said, it's an old stick. It's just a staff. It's just a dead piece of wood. What did Moses do? He threw it down. It became a serpent. God asked the same question of Aaron. What is that in your hand? It's just an old stick. But it budded. It became alive. Amen. It was a sign to a generation that God was with them. What have you got this morning that God could use? It's not that God needs us. God can do anything he wants to do. It's that God chooses us as his vessels. He chooses us to use us. Whenever God works in our generation, he does it through his church. Hallelujah. We are his chosen generation. We are his royal priesthood. We are the sons of God. What is that that you've got this morning? Keep that thought in your mind as we read through these scriptures. What have you got that God can take and use? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a little oil. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Amen. Give me oil. See, if we've got the oil, we've got something. The oil in the scripture is representative of the life and ministry of the Holy Spirit, the very thing that we've been talking about these past 3 weeks, the life of God, the person of God, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit himself, the divine power and presence of God in our hearts and lives. We have a little oil. Amen. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. I pray this morning that we've all got a little oil, because it only takes a little oil. Amen. It only takes a little oil. This woman had got nothing. Physically, she was spent. There was nothing in the cupboards. There was no money in the bank. There was nothing but two sons and a little oil. And she was in danger of losing her sons. Elisha says in verse 3, go round and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Now, you can only do this under the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You can't do this and make it a formula. Amen? It's when God moves in certain ways that you do things. You have to hear from heaven. You have to hear, as we said last week or the week before, the Rhema word of God, the personal word of God that comes to each one of us. And I'm just convinced this morning that it may only be one person. It could even be somebody that's listening to this message through the website. But for somebody this morning, God wants to speak to you and challenge you and say, what have you got that I can use? What have you got that you can pour out for me? What have you got that you're prepared to sacrifice and lay on the altar and give to me so that I can begin to work a miracle? Preparing for our miracle. Amen. Sowing in order to reap our miracle. You see, Elisha could have just said to the woman, well, he could have just prayed over the jar. And the oil could have increased. Jesus did it with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He prayed over them and they just kept increasing. I don't know how he did it, but every time the disciples took a chunk off the loaf, there was more there. Every time he broke a fish, there was more flesh. So Elisha could have just prayed over the oil jar and it could have increased, but it didn't. You see, we have to go with what God is telling us to do, and it will be different in each case. I pray this morning, Father, touch our hearts at our point of sacrifice. Our point. Make us squirm if necessary, but touch our hearts at our point where we can sow and we can prepare, where I can sow and get ready for my miracle, for what you want to do in me, through me, for me. So Elisha issues a challenge to this lady. And God will always test us. He says, go round and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. Now she had a choice. And there's always a choice. Amen. In God, there's always a choice to do or not to do. I don't like Shakespeare, but he had it right when he said, to be or not to be. That is the question. And this morning, the question to us is, to do or not to do? To be what God wants us to be or not to be? This woman had a choice, either to obey the instruction of the Holy Spirit through Elisha and to go and do this seemingly ridiculous task of collecting empty pots and pans from all her neighbors, or to say, oh, well, this is just stupid. Why would I want to do that? I've only got a little oil in the jar. Elisha, do something. But don't ask me to do such a ridiculous thing. But praise the Lord, she was obedient. She went round to all her neighbours. Have you got a pan you can lend me, Clara? Yes, why do you want it? Well, I'm not really sure, but the man of God said, collect the pans. Oh. Have you got an empty jar, Eliza? Yes, what do you want it for? Well, I don't know. But the man of God told me to collect empty jars. But I was going to make jam in it. Well, you can do, but just give it me. Let me have it for a few days. Okay. So round she goes. And she comes back with arms full of pots and pans and jars and vessels of all shapes and sizes. She could buy a few in our charity shop. Amen. There's plenty in there. She comes with them and she lays them out on the floor. And as the man of God said to do, she shuts the door. You see, there are things that God does in our lives that are private and are just for us and are not for public knowledge or consumption. They're just for you and I. She was going to witness the power and presence of God. But it wasn't for everybody to see. You know, Jesus made a statement once, and some of you won't understand it. But he said, don't throw your pearls before pigs, swine, otherwise they might turn and trample them. And there are times when we put things out in the public, good things that shouldn't necessarily be there because people don't understand. People can't understand spiritual things. We have to be careful what we share. Amen? And Elisha said, shut the door. And she did so. She shut the door. She brought the boys into the room. They shut the door behind them. And they brought the jars to her. And it says, and she kept pouring. Amen. We could stop there, couldn't we? She kept, three words. She kept pouring. She only had a little oil. She kept pouring. And when all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. Hallelujah. There's always more in God. There's enough to go round. From five loaves and two fishes, Jesus fed 5,000 men plus the women and the children. Then he did it again with 4,000. Amen. There's enough in God. There's no shortage for us. Hallelujah. If God blesses us, it doesn't mean he can't bless the folks at Emmaus or St. Paul's or Wycliffe or anywhere else this morning. And if God's blessing them, it doesn't mean that he can't bless us. Hallelujah. There's enough in God for all his vessels. Bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. And at that statement, the oil stopped. You see, God doesn't waste anything either. Praise the Lord. God knows exactly how much we can contain. So you don't need to be frightened of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He knows how much we can contain. And then when we're filled, the flow stops. Because we're full. Hallelujah. Pressed down, shaken together, and then a little bit overflowing. Hallelujah. And when every empty jar and pot and pan in that village was full, God said enough, and the oil stopped. Now suddenly, this woman who had only a little oil, now has oil by the gallon. And so what does she do? She went and told the man of God. And he said, go sell the oil, pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. Hallelujah. So before we move on, let's just go back to that question in verse 2. Verse 2, Jill, please. What do you have in your house? What have you got this morning? What have I got that we can begin to pour out so that God can bless it, increase it, and multiply it? What have you got? Then let's carry on in verse 8, because this really is the passage of scripture that the Lord put on my heart last Sunday morning as we were closing the meeting. One day Elisha went to Shunem. And a well-to-do woman was there. Ah, now there's a difference. Does God only bless the poor? No. Is it only the poor that need a miracle? No. Here is a woman who's well-to-do. In other words, she's rich. There's no shortage of cash in this house. The bank account looks good. And everything in the garden is financially rosy. And so, we see that she's a woman with a good heart, a heart to serve the Lord. Praise the Lord for people of means who want to serve the Lord. Amen. The kingdom of God does not get by on pence. The kingdom of God needs its millions. The world won't be reached with 20 pence. Amen. Think about it. The world, God needs his millions. The world is a big place. And God needs his millions and he needs his millionaires. And praise the Lord for people of wealth who are prepared to do something with that wealth. And so this well-to-do woman urged him to stay for a meal. Now it started small. She wouldn't have missed that, would she? I mean, we can all. I mean, I don't think there's anyone here who couldn't do that. Just invite somebody along for a meal. Just something small. But her heart was good. Her heart was right. And it started small. And it goes on, so whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. Now, praise the Lord, Elisha must have felt very comfortable with this family. That's good, isn't it? It's good when the man of God feels comfortable with us. That he wants to come and spend time with us. That it's not a chore to him. But he wants to come and be in our presence. And so it started a trend. Whenever Elisha was in the neighborhood, he would stop by and he knew that there was going to be a good meal there for him. And that started a train of thoughts in this woman's mind. And in verse 9, she said to her husband, "I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us." Praise the Lord. Was within her means to do this. And some of that money that she had in the bank, she spent. And she built a room just for Elisha, a place that he could call his own, a place where nobody else went. It was his. And whenever he was in the district, not only would he get a good meal, but he had a place that he could call his own, a place where he could retire to, a place where he could draw aside, a good place, a place that was his, provided for him by this family. Now, they didn't know. They thought that they were just blessing the man of God. They were happy that they could help Elisha in his work for the Lord. They knew that by helping Elisha, they were, in fact, giving to God. They knew that. And they were happy to do that. They didn't know that what they were actually doing was preparing for a miracle. What is that in your house? What is that in your hand? What is that in your heart? Are you sowing for your miracle? Are you preparing for your day? In verse 11, one day when Elisha came, he went up to his room and he lay down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, "Tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army?" She replied, "I have a home among my own people." In other words, I don't really need anything material. "What can be done for her?" Elisha asked. Gehazi said, "She has no son and her husband is old." Then Elisha said, "Call her." So he called her and she stood in the doorway. "About this time next year," Elisha said, "you will hold a son in your arms." That's a promise from God. Are there any promises in your heart and soul that are not yet fulfilled? Things that God has placed in you, in your spirit, that need to be, but are not yet. The Bible talks about faith being the substance of things unseen. There are promises in our hearts that are to be. Now, this lady is quite aghast at this. "No, my Lord," she objected. "Don't mislead your servant, O man of God." But the woman became pregnant. And the next year, about that same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. Praise the Lord. The promise fulfilled as a result of her providing for the man of God. She sowed for a miracle. She didn't know she was. She didn't know what the miracle would be. But she had prepared the way for God to work. And God did. Gave her a promise and then fulfilled the promise. Verse 18. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father who was with the reapers. My head, he said to his father. Something was terribly wrong. Terribly wrong. The father told a servant, carry him to his mother. After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon. And then he died. That went badly wrong. I mean, this boy is a promise from the Lord. This boy is a fulfillment of a miracle. And now he's dead. In verse 21, she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God. I believe that's very significant. That bed wasn't there a few years ago. Amen. That roof was empty. Think about it. You're going to have to think this morning, okay? That room was new. Just a few years before, even possibly as little as 2 years before, it was just a flat roof on a house. But the Holy Spirit had put into this lady's heart to build the room. Not only did she build the room, but she furnished the room. She put a bed in there. She didn't know that one day she would lay her own son out on that bed. His life had gone. The promise was over. The situation was desperate. But she'd made a place. She'd made provision. She called her husband and said, please send one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return. So he didn't know that the child had died. Why go to him today? He asked. It's not the new moon or the Sabbath. In other words, it's not a religious festival. It's all right, she said. It's all right. She was a woman of faith. Wasn't all right. The boy was dead on Elisha's bed. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, lead on, don't slow down for me unless I tell you. So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. Now, we've no idea how long or how far that was. I don't, anyway. Probably a Bible scholar might be able to work out the distance between Shunem and Carmel, but I don't know. I'm telling you this morning, I'm moving under inspiration, not under science, hallelujah. And I have no idea, but it could have been a day, it could have been days, it could have been weeks. But however long it was, this woman was determined that nothing was going to stop her from reaching the man of God. She was determined to see it through. And when he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, 'Are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right?'" "Everything is all right," she said. It wasn't. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone. She is in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why." In verse 28, "Did I ask you for a son?" She was almost blaming him. "Did I ask you for a son? Look what's happened. You gave me a son. You prophesied. The son was born and now he's dead. What's all this about? What's this? What's this that you've done? Didn't I tell you don't raise my hopes?" Oh, she laid it on him, didn't she? She wasn't holding back. "This is your fault, Elisha. I never asked for a son. You gave me a son through the promise of God, and now he's dead. And not only is he dead, but he's on your bed." Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tuck your cloak into your belt. Take my staff in your hand and run. If you meet anyone, don't greet him. If anyone greets you, don't answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face." The response immediately from Elisha. But the mother said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So she got up and followed. See, she didn't want the servant. She wanted the man of God. There'll come a day when you don't need the pastor. You don't need the church. You need God. Amen. You don't need the servant. You don't need the minister. You need God. And she wasn't happy that Gehazi was going. She said, "I'm not leaving you." So he got up and he followed her. Gehazi went on ahead, laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. She was right. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him the boy is not awakened. When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay upon the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. As he stretched himself out upon him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room and then got onto the bed and stretched out upon him one more time. The boy sneezed seven times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite." And he did. When she came, he said, "Take your son." She came in, fell at his feet, bowed to the ground. She took her son and went out. The woman received her promise again, like Abraham did on the mount. He received back his son. But what I want you to grasp from this morning is in both cases, it started with provision being made. For the poor woman, it was a little oil. For the rich woman, it was a room, an extension on the house for the man of God. But in each case, little did they know, they were preparing for their miracle. Now I'm going to do something now that I'm not sure that I've ever done in my whole life in ministry. So this better be the Lord. I'm going to ask for an altar call this morning. I'm going to say that if God has spoken to you specifically, either last Sunday at the end of the meeting or this morning through these scriptures, What is that in your hand? What is that in your house? What is that that you've got that God could use? It could be something material. It could be something financial. It could be something spiritual. It could be a gift. It could be a talent. And I want you to come this morning and offer it to God here at the front so that God knows and you know. I remember as a young man, probably about 25 years old. I would have been about that. Yeah, maybe a little bit older. We had a tent meeting on the park. Sankey Valley Park. Bob Gordon was the speaker. And he challenged that night, "My son, give me your heart." Now, I knew the Lord. I was baptized in the Spirit, preaching, involved in everything that was going on in the church. But God asked me for something else that night. And that began the road that led me here. "My son, give me your heart." And I had to go out and I knelt in the dust, on the grass, in that tent that night and said, "Lord, whatever I've got, you, it's yours. Whatever I can give you, it's yours. Take it." And I gave it to God that night. Within 2 years, 3 years of that experience, we were called full time. And the rest is testimony. I was going to say history, but that's not true, is it? The rest is testimony. Hallelujah. "My son, give me your heart. Spirit of God, consuming fire." And as we sing this morning, I want you to come and just stand at the front. It's you and the Lord. You're not coming to me. That night, I wasn't going to Bob Gordon. I was going to the Lord who was calling me. What is that in your hand? What have you got that you can give to the Lord? If it's something financial, the offering basket's there. We've took an offering up already. But maybe the Lord's challenged you this morning to give more. Put something else. If you've not got the money, put an IOU in. Amen. I said this better be God. Put an IOU in and bring it next week. If it's something that you want to do, some talent, some gift that has lain dormant or was once used and has not been used, say, "Lord, revive that thing in me." Whatever it is this morning that God has fingered on you. Doesn't matter if we've been in the Lord all our lives and served Him faithfully. We still need to sow for our miracle. That man, that poor woman's husband had served God faithfully all his life. But there still was a day when his wife needed that miracle. And so we're all included in this morning. God wants to do things through us. I believe that we're coming into a new phase, a new chapter here at Bethany. And it will only happen if we all say, "Yes, I want to be part of that. I want to be part of what God's doing. I've got this in my hand. I'm going to give it to God." One of the things that the apostles and the early church did, it says they had all things in common. They came. We were going to go into that this morning a little bit, but we never got there. They gave so that nobody was in need. They had all things common, the scripture says. Communism as it should be. What is it that you've got this morning? Come and stand and give something to God today and then go away and live it. Hallelujah. Make the commitment this morning and then live it for the rest of your life. Live it, because one day you're going to need a miracle. One day you'll wish you'd made a bed in a room for the man of God. One day you'll wish you've got oil in the jar so you can pour it out. And so let's make our commitment this morning. I'm going to build you that room, Lord. I'm going to make that provision so that one day when I need a miracle, the wherewithal will already be there. The path will have already been beaten to the door of the man of God to receive from heaven. Hallelujah.